Welcome.
Good morning.
I was going to wait so I could interrupt you.
Welcome to the first episode of the In Character podcast. I almost called it the Nunya Business podcast because that was going to be the original name. And by going to be the original name, I mean it was scrapped immediately upon creation. But I was really lobbying for it. Can you hear me okay?
Is this... Are you just doing that because that's the sort of thing people say when they start?
No, podcasts? I'm doing it because the little squiggly lines on my end were really loud at first, and now they're going down, so I didn't know if it was getting worse, the audio, as I'm talking.
That's the way that works, is that when you talk quieter, the squiggly lines are smaller.
I don't need you to mansplain audio to me. My God, let's get on with this before I... we had to derailing the conversation to something else.
Well, that makes me think, because of this character is that we're talking about today is actually a man who some would say is misogynistic.
I don't know if he's misogynistic. He's just annoying. I think all the way that the fan base reacts to him is misogynistic.
Oh, they're misogynistic.
But Walter White himself. I don't know that you could say he is a woman hater. I think he looks down on people who aren't him, no matter if they're a woman or whatever. I think he thinks everyone is dumber than him, and he doesn't discriminate against women or people of color or anyone.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, maybe he's better than I am as a person, if to insinuate that I was...
God damn it!
Oh no! We gotta beep it!
Is that a curse word? Okay.
It is to religious people, like myself.
Oh, dang flabbit. That's what Miley Cyrus used to say on Hannah Montana. Or dang nabbit. Dang nabbit is what she used to say. Anyway, we're not talking about Hannah Montana. We're talking about Breaking Bad. We're talking... The purpose of this content or of this podcast is to discuss... every week, the trajectory and the identity of a particular character in film or television or whatever piece of media we decide to go with. And for our first episode, we are going with probably the most famous TV character ever, Mr. Walter White, lead character of Breaking Bad. Any thoughts on that so far, Evan? Any stupid
comments? Well, I mean... As will be clear and needed throughout the entirety of this podcast, I think there's an appropriate amount of devil's advocacism that needs to be upheld on behalf of Walter White. You know, he's a really smart guy. Some people have a problem with his values, actions, but at the end of the day, he's a hustler.
Evan loves to advocate for the devil. It's one of his favorite pastimes. And I think that's a pretty apt description for what you would be doing here if you defended Walter White. Because as Jesse Pinkman once said, he's the devil. Oh. Mr. White! He's the devil!
Damn, that's actually like a great tie-in.
Thank you.
That's what I was insinuating. That's what I said when I said that. So
right, just trying to detract from a woman's ideas. I get it. This will be a recurring theme, and is very topical to discuss Breaking Bad. Given, I mean,
there's women in it.
There's women in it. There's a particular woman, that's singular, Skylar White, Walter White's wife, who maybe gets a bit too much flack for her character and her position in opposition to Walter in this show, given that Walter is a little POS and she really is just trying to do the best she can while her back's up against the wall because her dumb husband is an inconsiderate, lying little jerk. Little weasel.
Well, what you failed to consider is that this isn't about Skylar, so...
No, this isn't about Skylar. This is about Walter White. And
but what? Specifically about Walter White. Why is it called In Character? What does that have to do with anything?
Because we're going inside of him. we're going right into Walt. And I don't know how else to put it. There's not really another way I could word that.
Can you think of a better way?
No. So basically what we're going to do is And the kind of general outline for this show as we record these episodes for the next couple of weeks is we're going to use music, whether that's music in the show or music that we've related externally to Walter White's character or the show more broadly. And we're going to analyze the show through that lens of, like, of the music that we'll be discussing. So I guess we'll hop right into it. I don't know the way that we kind of...
But first, the theme song.
Oh, yeah. We don't have a theme song.
No. We just don't say anything, and then...
Yeah. Good.
Technically, we can just make a cut, but I think it's funnier if we just... We're not editing any of this. There'll be a cut, but there's also just going to be an awkward silence, so...
Perfect.
That's my vision.
I'm catching the vision. Yeah. So I don't have my glasses on. Okay. So when Breaking Bad starts off, I'm talking pilot and those mainly the first half of the pilot before we even see Walter White get his diagnosis. What are we looking at character wise here, Evan? What would you say?
I'd say we have a soft-spoken school teacher with a big brain and a
big booty.
No. Oh, actually, though, if given the opportunity, the thumbnail for this episode will be Papa Walter looking dummy thick would be the plan. No, he has he's quiet, more shy and passive in that, like, we see a few interactions between him and his brother-in-law, Hank. Hank seems to be a typical masculine man in his embodiment. He's got a gun, and he's a DEA agent.
Yeah, and I think it's important, probably, in terms of my position on Walter as a character, to note that, like, I don't like Hank at this point either. It's not like I look at Hank and am like, oh, that Walter should be like that. Like, this is the ideal guy. It's like, I think Hank is the sadder character, really, in terms of, like, people I would want to be around. I would rather be around Walt, at least at this point. Because Hank is, for his hyper-masculinity, is, like, misogynistic, is definitely, like, he'll say things and you're like, oh my god.
Right. Now, as a man,
it would probably be
more entertaining to be around Hank. Whereas if you're looking for knowledge, you go to Walt.
Right, but Walt is a family man at this point. I mean, he's a kind of pathetic. He's a pathetic kind of...
If I'm just a random person on the street, this guy's not going to stick out to me as someone necessarily that I'm like, oh.
No.
He doesn't have drip.
He's got no drip. That's true. He's got no drip. He develops... I would say he develops drip over time when he gets the little hat.
Oh, yeah.
But
in
for now,
Fedora
he's
era.
Okay. And, but yeah, primarily he's kind of this, like, emasculated figure. He's an omega male, really. And if there's an alpha male, he's the total opposite of whatever that is. But that's not to say that he doesn't have things going for him. He's a genuinely brilliant guy, and that's made very clear from the pilot. And despite his unsatisfaction or dissatisfaction with his station in life at this point, he does have a family that cares about him. And that is something I think he takes for granted. And that's going to be a recurring theme, this idea of family and Walt's relation to that as a motivation, quote unquote motivation for his character. But anyway, do you have any songs particularly pertaining to Walt as we know him at the beginning, as we're introduced to him?
No, I don't. But when I was thinking momentarily, I was trying to imagine, like, just what I would think of as kind of lame and cheesy music would be the
right type. And in terms of, what do you think Walt's listening to at this stage of his life? Like, I think he's
I could see him being a Bee Gees guy, maybe.
I think he's cranking some, like, yacht rock or something. He's like playing, like, Hall & Oates or something, just some, like, really breezy, like cuck music. So, yeah, some Seals and Croft or something like that. Just like this kind of really cheesy 70s music. I don't know. How old is Walt? He's turns 50 in the pilot, so. And the show takes place in like 2008. So he would have been growing up in like, yeah, at about that time. So that adds up. I think he'd be listening to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he'd be like his 20s.
Yeah.
In the 70s or 15 through 20.
Yeah. So I think that is apt. At the beginning of the show, there's a song. This plays at the end of the episode. So at this point, he's already killed somebody. Spoiler alert.
Does he really do that all in the first episode?
All in the first episode. That he, him and Jesse are...
Holy...
Jesse's, like, passed out because it's, like, Emilio and Crazy 8 come and they think that they're trying to steal the meth from them, whatever, and they're gonna kill them. And then Walt's like, no, I'll show you how to make meth, and then he, like, explodes. He, like, makes, like, an
explosion. He makes a bomb in the trailer and locks them in. Is that the first episode?
Yeah, and then he kills Emilio... And Crazy 8 is still alive at this point. So
Emilio was the one who was stuck in the truck as well.
In the truck.
How does Emilio die?
They're both in there. Both cousins are in there, but they think both of them are dead at this stage. He thinks
Yeah.
Two of them are dead.
Crazy 8 starts limping away. But
yeah. But at this point, we've already seen Walter White kill somebody, and at the end of this episode, I feel like pre-killing and pre-meth making, because even there's definitely a divergence in character between like Walter White at the beginning of the pilot and Walter White at the end. There has been a clear change that is marked, and we'll get to that in a second. It's kind of exemplified through, I don't know if we can talk about this on this podcast,
but
through his sex life with his wife.
We'll beep that word.
Intercourse life with his wife. We see him as like this kind of impotent, just like unsatisfied guy at the beginning.
He can't get it up, can he?
Can't get it up, but also like both of them are like uninterested. Like him and Skylar, they're both kind of like going through the motions. Whatever.
Oh, wasn't there some weird thing like she was trying to do or something?
I can't talk about this on this episode. But
whatever. Point being, it's really an uncomfortable scene for you
It's an uncomfortable scene to watch. I watched this. I made my parents watch Breaking Bad, and my little brother's also in the room, and we all watched the scene together as a family. We watched the entire pilot as a family, and I'm like, like it's an uncomfortable scene.
No, that's very important to him as a character, though. Absolutely,
very important. And by the end of the episode, he sort of turned like kind of automatically into this like. You know,
well, like sexual excitement, I think, is probably pretty heavily connected with just your self-confidence and how you feel about your situation more broadly, right?
Yeah, definitely. But Walt's character in particular, throughout the show, there is this weird interconnection between sex and whatever's going on in Walter's life, which at times is like pretty harrowing because
it's pretty disgusting.
Turns into like some like. Very difficult to watch like sexual assault scenes with his wife and stuff, and like that's just icky, but for now it's consensual. And the end
do
of the
they
show,
do it at the end too though
they do it at the end. So before we get to that, I think pre-Walter White to me, that's like the Smiths. So you know the song you know the song Please 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 Let Me Get What I Want, and it's kind of just about it's just like this really sad song, and basically the lyrics are, we will play it here, but the lyrics, see the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. I think that kind of embodies whole movement toward justification that Walt has of his actions, but in the same sense, he doesn't think of himself as a bad guy, I don't think at any point in this show, but for the sense of, like, I think he can recognize his activities are criminal, and...
Yeah.
So I was just trying to think of... You know, I thought... I was going through, I was like,
good
what's
man,
the...
bad? What was the specific lyric?
It's see, the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad.
Oh, that's so perfect, though.
It is perfect, yeah. But I was thinking even more broadly speaking, as I was trying to come up with these songs, I was like, what is an artist that just, like, embodies this pathetic attitude?
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, the Smiths, that's it. And then I literally was going through it, and I was like, that song works, and that song works.
And actually, to disclose, I don't actually like the Smiths, personally.
Yeah, you ever hear of a little band called the Smiths? They're like... pretty good.
See, that's an imitation of something I did months ago, but when I was sharing that, it was like I had just discovered them and I thought they were kind of cool, and then I realized that they weren't cool to the culture, so I don't think they're cool anymore.
I'm gonna say they're not cool, but them and, like, Radiohead, they're like virgin music, or like,
yeah, but the reality is, yeah, you know,
that's how they're labeled. Like, the meme is that, like, everyone will be like, lost my virginity, just sold all my Smiths records or something. Like, you can't relate to the music right anymore.
But, you know, the ironic thing is Walter White is, he's a virgin, but he's also married with kids. That's the beautiful thing here.
Yeah, he really embodies virgin energy. I don't know if any of this is usable for this episode so far.
No, dude, this is how it's going to be. I like the idea, there's no cuss words of speaking openly. Speak openly about the problems even in Walt, and I think that's a fair critique.
Yeah, but I think it's hard to separate Walt from his sex life, especially in this pilot episode, because by the end, so at the end of this pilot, this song called Out of Time Man starts playing in the show, and this is one of, I've got three, like, significant songs from the course of the entire series that I picked out specifically as representative of Walt at different points, and this is one that plays in the scene. He's just come back from, like, this crazy escapade involving Jesse and Emilio and Crazy Eight. He's just killed what he thinks is two people, and he's just made some money, and he's, like, washing it in the laundry machine or hiding it in there. I don't know what he's doing, actually. Yeah. And the song is playing, and the lyrics, we can play a little snippet of it now. Think it's 9 when the clock says 10. This girl
won't wait for the out of time man. Man, that was a good song.
But yeah, basically it's like, I think it's 9 when the clock says 10, the girl wouldn't wait for the out of time man. Basically, this theme of, like, he's just been diagnosed with cancer. He's got this, like, really now crazy side hustle or something, and he is running out of time, this guy, and he's got to get his life together before he dies.
He's got to get his life together before he falls apart. Bars?
Bars, dude. I gotta blow my nose right now. I'm still coming over my sickness. I feel like a real Walter White right now. I'm in my loser era. You could fill the time, Evan. Say something.
I'm like, yeah, the scene in the laundromat. I can think of that.
Oh, F you, Bogdan. That one?
No, actually, though, what I'm thinking of more generally is, like, the amount of, like, specific analysis that could be taken out of just one episode. I realize, like, we could potentially turn this into, like, a two-part episode if need be. If
we could have just made this podcast the Breaking Bad Walter White exploration podcast.
Well, yeah, like, what I'm saying is, like, I don't think anything you said has not been, like, relevant or interesting to me, at least, and this is a good chunk of time in. So if we get, like, halfway through the series, then we'll cut it and make it
we'll do a part two. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, now that my nose is okay. Yeah, so the song is playing, and this is where the episode ends. Walt goes, and Skyler, they have this moment, and they're laying in bed, and she's like, I don't know what the hell is going on with you, but, like, I don't like it when you don't talk to me. Like, I don't know what's going on. At this point, he has not told her that he's been diagnosed with cancer. He obviously hasn't told her he's selling meth. And then instead of saying anything, he flips her over, and they go at it, those two. And she has this moment of, like, what? Where the hell did that come from?
We've seen this side of him.
Yeah.
And the play on words there is because he's normally on the bottom.
We definitely can't say that.
No, we can. That's not a swear word.
Yeah, anyway. Well, moving on. So that's kind of the pilot encapsulated, and I think those songs in framing Walt help get us kind of this piece of his identity at this point in the show.
It is wild to me, just the amount of stuff packed into that episode. I forgot that it...
It's crazy. It's an incredibly well-done pilot. It's... and this whole season, actually, is only, like, 9 episodes or something. It's the shortest season.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of it just happens in that first episode. But, yeah, those are the significant ones. I had a few more Smith songs that could apply to, like, loser Walter White, but I felt that that was the most...
We don't want to put him down too much, you know.
No, yeah, we don't...
He's a loser for other reasons.
He's a loser for other reasons, but he's not, like, Morrissey loser, you know? Like, he's not, like, you're like, oh, God, you know?
So, I don't know what that is, even.
Morrissey's the lead singer of the Smiths. Oh, my God. Keep up.
I thought it was another band, but we'll carry on.
Yeah, let's move on. So, after this point in the trajectory that Walt takes is just becoming more and more involved in the meth production side of things, the meth business. At this point, though, he's just like a bumbling idiot. Like, he has no idea what he's doing, and for all of his genius in producing the stuff, like, they make so many mistakes, him and Jesse, at this stage. And in the meantime, and this is kind of the case for the entire show, I would say, he just feels so sorry for himself in a way that's like... Like, I get it. Like, his circumstances aren't great, but an important thing to note is that in season one, he is literally offered kind of a solution to the framing, or at least to how he can frame his problems at all and justify it. Like, there, he's been given a logical solution to work for his ex-colleague's company, and there's a whole reason his ego won't let him do that, but...
Right.
It's really comes from a place of dwelling on this, like, self-pity, and that he has been just totally unfairly handed this bad deal in life, which, you know, Skylar never goes and does illegal things, so I'm just saying.
Don't bother mentioning her. This isn't about her.
I'm just saying. But no, it is important, contrast of Walter to other characters and how they deal with similarly terrible situations. He just is, like, so frustrating. Actually, and this reminds me of another song I had, which kind of applies to the same loser era Walt, but I think applies to him kind of throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love this song. It's called Born Under a Bad Sign by Albert King. Great little blues tune on a great blues album. And it's just, you know, in classic blues fashion, is like, you know, been down since I began to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, you know, I wouldn't have no luck at all. And to me, it's just like Walter White fundamentally, I mean, cannot frame that he has good things in his life. And he's willing to sacrifice the good things he does have in his life, ultimately, in pursuit of a quote-unquote solution to the problems he does have. And
He feels like he's got a poor hand when it comes to his family, his health, and his career. Like, his son is... Do you think he resents the fact that his son is handicapped? Like, that whole...
I think he resents his everything about this particular station. Like, I think he resents that him and his wife are having another baby. I think he resents... I think this all stems from, like, he had an idea of where his life was going to go, and it didn't go that way.
He knows
he's a smart guy, and really all of this stems from, like, just arrogance and self-importance of, like, I'm so much better than this circumstance that I'm in.
Right. And actually, we've had conversations about this before. It's like, what if Walt didn't have cancer? What would have happened? It's like, he still has all these negative tendencies. He knows he's smart, and he knows his life is going a direction he wishes it wasn't, but he doesn't know why. He can't connect the dots to that he might actually be part of the problem there.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, cancer is definitely the catalyst, because I think he goes immediately to, like, well, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain. I think that's his mindset of, like, if I start pursuing this path of criminal activity, I'll make a lot of money for my family, and it won't even matter, because nobody will know where it comes from. It won't, and so it won't do any harm to them in that sense, and they will have financial security. Which I think was also maybe part of his justification of why he didn't want to work for his ex-colleagues, is like, you know, they have the health insurance in the meantime, but let's say he dies, what happens to them financially after that? But at the same time, we can get caught up in what Walter White's true motivations are. At this stage, I think they do shift a lot as the show goes on. I do think it was like a primary...
He's not out of pride there.
There was definitely pride, yeah, but I think thinking of your family in that situation is something he was doing
right
much more than he is as time goes on.
Well, at least the justification for the benefit to his family is less of a leap starting out, and then
yeah,
it gets bigger as the things he's willing to do and the sacrifices he's willing to make with his family to get those things is more and more. So,
but that paints a brilliant backdrop for the entire show. What they do in the pilot, especially in season one generally, is this is us as an audience being conditioned to sympathize with Walt and justify his actions from this point on. Because
I mean, it probably would be fair to paint the picture in the picture painted that he's actually doing something right here. Because it's not that hard. If he's not hurting anyone, on a surface level, like, oh, he is just, what he's doing might be illegal, but he's technically providing for his family, and no one's ever going to know, and what they don't know is not going to hurt them.
Right.
And these people want what he's making anyway, so, like, what's the problem if he does it?
Exactly, yeah. And there's an interesting discussion that Vince Gilligan, the creator of the show, and Bryan Cranston, who plays Walter White, have in the commentary recording when they're talking about the pilot of, like, when Walter White becomes evil, and Cranston says it's in this episode because he kills people in this episode, and this is where the switch is flicked and he's not going back from this point on. I can't remember where Vince Gilligan says he believes.
Was it near the end of the first season?
I think with Vince, it might be when he kills Crazy Eight. Like, he strangles him later, which is a few episodes after this one, because he's like he's locked up in their basement or whatever.
Yeah, episode 4 of the first season is right. What Vince Gilligan says.
Yeah, and because that one wasn't like an immediate danger situation, but it might be, and still in both of these cases, I can still, looking at him as like a fictional character, whatever, I can be like, well, these are criminals who are trying to kill him and blah, 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 blah. And you can justify it in that sense. But regardless of how our personal morality comes into this, the point of the show at this stage is to put us in Walter's shoes of being able to justify his actions, and starting off with relatively inoffensive things like, you know, killing somebody who's trying to kill you and really agonizing over it. Like, Walt does not want to kill these people. Is nice of like wading us into the waters, and where we end up at the end of this show is just like, it's unrecognizable to where he starts off. So
I feel like as a viewer, it tears you apart because you're like, well, he already did this and it felt justified, and this is just like a little bit worse.
Yeah.
But again, still there was context, and like if he just like killed someone for no reason, that would be wrong. But it's like you're saying, like as the situations get more extreme, you know, it becomes less of a thought even of what he's willing to do, and just more an impulse.
Yeah, And that's how Walt feels too. And at no point, and it's just interesting when I was going back and like kind of going over the show and the trajectory the course takes and just important plot points, it's very interesting when Jesse starts to feel like he's very much a villain and how Walt does not feel like that at any stage. Mm-hmm. And he actually feels less and less like a villain as time goes on, even though he's most certainly becoming more of one.
Which is actually probably a commentary on humans. It's like, if you're too confident that what you're doing is the right thing,
yeah,
that in itself is probably a red flag.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that is Walter White kind of epitomized, is just this crazy, confident, arrogant, very arrogant guy. And that's really the best word I would use to describe it. It's not like he's brilliant in chemistry,
yeah,
but he's so dumb in other ways. Like, he is just, you're like,
It's you could say he's dumb, but fortune favors him throughout.
Like, fortune does favor. He gets lucky so many times. And I think luck or coincidence plays a big role.
He's quick on his feet too, though. Like,
what?
He's quick on his feet too, though. Like, his,
yeah,
he's resourceful and like quick, where there's situations that could clearly go very wrong very quickly that he somehow manages to squeeze himself out of. It's like, as he continually succeeds over and over again against like a lot of odds, then it just fuels the ego even more, like, oh well, yeah, I guess I am actually all that, yeah, aren't I?
Like, say my name. Oh, you're goddamn right, I'm Heisenberg. Like, that as an attitude, we'll get to that in a bit. But season two is a season that's maybe criticized for how it wraps up, especially in terms of like this largely coincidental plane falling out of the sky as this chain result of Walt's actions of not saving Jane. But before,
oh wow,
we get to that point, this is a season, like, Walt is lying to Skyler in all of season one. He is really lying to, he's telling some ginormous lies to his family in season two. So this is the season where he tells her that he's going to a sweat lodge for, like, however many days. He's going to go cook meth with Jesse, and then they get kidnapped by Tuco. So, actually, I think that happens at the end of season one, and then the beginning of season is, like, just, like, this wild circumstance or whatever. And then this is also the season of his fugue state, where
I thought that was the same one. I was like, I thought,
no, that was a separate time.
You managed to get back from the sweat lodge all in one piece, no questions asked.
Yeah, but then he ends up, this is the one where he like ends up in like a grocery store or something, like naked, because they have to come up with this plan of why he's been away for like a week.
Yeah.
And this is because they were kidnapped by
you said Tuco, right? Or is it someone else?
It's no. This is the two. The kid Tuco's the one that kidnaps them when he says he's going to the sweat lodge, when he's just was going to cook meth with Jesse. So he was going to be gone for that amount of time anyway. But yeah, the fugue state is when him and Jesse are going out in the desert, and then they run out of gas in the car.
Oh yeah,
they're running the whole time. So then he has to like do this makeshift, very brilliant, resourceful guy, and he makes this battery so they can manage to get there. But then they have to come up with this reason of where the hell he's been for the past like week, and it's just lies on top of lies. And like, this is the season Skylar reaches her breaking point, and where the family is like really torn apart is in this season. Do you
that
have
being said, no, I don't Sorry, have yeah. anything. I was waiting for you to give me a good song.
Yeah, no, I was going to. I mean, I think just from everything I just said about this being kind of a liar season, the Arctic Monkeys have this really great song called Dance Little Liar. And from the perspective of like kind of just watching kind of this like third person narrative of like what lies kind of look like when they're told, and this is just such a great song. We'll play it here, a little snippet.
The liar takes a lot less time to decide on the soldier. Have you got itchy bones?
It's great. I recommend listening to it lyrically, it's incredible. But basically the theme of it being like the chorus is like, and the clean coming will hurt, and you can never get it spotless when there's dirt beneath the dirt. The liar takes a lot less time. And
okay.
And I'm sure it's clear and plain to read. It's not an alibi you need just yet. Oh no, it's something for those beads of sweat. Yes, that'll get you back to normal. So I think in the particular context of this, well, actually, this could be about anything. I think it kind of is, like, about cheating or something. But at this stage, like, Skylar also thinks, like, he could be cheating. She doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And, but this song basically saying, like, there's, you know, what it looks like when somebody's lying, or, like, the perspective of a liar and the kind of, like, dance that they do and this, like, facade they put on in order to, like, to keep their lie clean, but it's not clean, and there's always dirt underneath the dirt, as
well,
they say.
Thing, yeah, the levels of lies.
But then it builds. The song builds, and the end of the bridge is like, "And in all your time alone, can you hack your mind being riddled with the wrong memories?" This idea of like, you've lied so much, do you even know what the truth is anymore? Like you're like implanting the wrong memories in your brain because you've lied so much. And yeah, really great song, and pertains specifically to Walt this season. I mean, there's not a point in this show where he's telling the truth to anybody.
When the lies ramp up here, it's like,
but the lies ramp up and they reach ahead here in relation to his family. Anyway, like, there are just so many glaring omissions of truth that this is, you know, Skylar's like, the hell is wrong with you? Like, legitimately, what are you doing? So that was a big one I had for this season. And as I was previously saying, where the show ends up going in this season of Jesse's girlfriend Jane overdosing on heroin while watching her die instead of helping her, and then her, and like that whole hullabaloo of like butterfly effect that happens there is like the most it's all very like coincidental. And I think the show gets a little bit of flack, at least for that, the way that season is done or ended, because like Walt's kill count is just like,
I mean, I don't think it really matters to me. Like, it's fine to me that there's this level of coincidence in the finale. It's troubling and like hurts to watch on every level that you see it. Like, just knowing that he allows Jane to die, it's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty significant.
Yeah, that is a significant moment for his character, definitely. Like, one of that is certainly another place you can argue where he becomes evil, because you've taken this character, not that he kills her directly, but he is, it's convenient for him if she dies.
The funny thing is, I remember every time any of these scenes were particularly crazy for me as I was watching through it, and then here I am talking to you about it, and it always be like, well, you know, like, technically speaking, if he let Jane live, then like, what would she do to Jesse? She might have killed him. So like, there's an argument, and it's like, for every cut and dry argument you could try to make, there's this sneaky little voice that he probably has in his own head saying, oh, well, I'm actually doing something good here, and maybe I'm saving someone's life.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, to him, any way you slice it, Jesse's life is worth more to him than Jane's. And even just making those kind of calls, like, most normal people don't look at human life that way. Like, they they don't rank it, you know, because they don't have to. He didn't have to do that.
Well, I mean, that's one way of reading it, and I think that's the accurate reading. I think the normal person seeing someone, like, on the verge of dying or in the process of dying would just freeze up naturally as a result of, like, oh, I have no idea what to do here. What do I do? And then they're already dead. He's pretty smart, so I don't think you could probably make the argument that he froze up as a result of that, I guess.
He's pretty smart. I mean, the idea would be that you keep an addict or whoever, if they're on drugs, you keep them on their side. The same with somebody seizing.
Right.
They do start choke. Like, they can't choke if they're sideways. Like, because it's what's happening is she's throwing up and then her vomit. She's choking.
Yeah.
So he knows what he's supposed to do. He knows he's supposed to turn her side, because she was sideways. It was him that knocked her accidentally like, face up.
And yeah, that's then pretty damning.
That is pretty damning, definitely.
It's actually as a result of him that she dies then.
Yeah, technically. I mean, still
on multiple levels, though, because
she was the one who overdosed. Like, she's the one who took these drugs, and
it's just like to watch the person die is different than to technically even accidentally be the domino effect that started them dying in the first place. I know what you're saying. Like, she could have rolled over on herself as well. But.
Yeah, but it's just the thing. Like, if you're there and you are able to do something and you don't, I mean, like, that's significant. And this is somebody who is not involved in any of this criminal activity. This is the first person that dies on account of Walt that's not directly involved with, like, trying to kill him or something. And so that is a very significant moment for his character. And Jesse's character. I mean, this moment defines Jesse for the rest of the show. I mean, he's never the same after this point. And as a result, Walt and him really... He offers a good kind of foil position to Walt kind of from this point on of like, he feels that this is his fault. Jesse takes, I forgot about that as
he internalizes her dying
as a result of him, because ultimately she was clean before she met him. And
oh man,
I mean, she was the one who got him into heroin, but like
did she smoke when she was clean?
She like smoked cigarettes, but like he had weed and stuff.
And then he had weed, and then it's like
it was a result of him having meth. And she was like, "I don't want addicts in my house." And then like a result of him just like twisting her arm. I mean, it's all very messy. And I don't know with Jane's death in particular that you can say it's anybody's fault. Like, I don't even think you can say it's Walt's fault because it's not. Well, but
but it is to the like I imagine it as the trolley problem, where like there's two different ways in which someone dying is your responsibility. It's like you're saying, if you don't act and you should have, you're responsible. But also him flipping the switch is the same as him knocking her over. Like, something that he did like affects the lives of people, or in this case her.
And I guess in his trolley problem, Jesse is the one that he's flipping the switch.
Yeah. it's a one-to-one instead of saving multiple people. He's just getting to save Jesse. And Jesse wasn't even guaranteed to die in this trolley.
No. But he knows Jesse wouldn't be in his life anymore after this point, which is what Walt doesn't want. And this even as a moment is very significant in what is the relationship between Walt and Jesse. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, what does Walt really think of this character? What does he want from Jesse? Like, what is his, like, what's going on there? And we've talked a bit about this in the past of like this dysfunctional father-son relationship, this like really kind of the evil reflection of the Walter Jr. and Walter White relationship. I don't know. I mean, he does love Jesse, I think, in this weird twisted way that he has.
Well, I mean, like, I think there's some aspect of his love for Jesse that is objectively a valuable thing, and that he wants him to like live a life that's sustainable. He's trying to encourage him to live clean throughout the entire show, right?
Yeah.
And that's the main thing, I guess, that I could think of that's a net positive for Jesse. Like, he gets him to go to that like retreat or clinic or wherever, where he's there talking to like people, sharing his problems, and not.
But I think
that's pragmatic. He's just doing it to. No, I think it hurts him to see Jesse hurt, though. So
it does. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It's just it's an interesting. If you want to go back to the beginning, like, Walt really coerces him into joining into this business relationship with him in the first place. Like, Jesse really didn't have a choice in terms of, like, he had you can go back further when Jesse first got into dealing drugs, whatever he was doing, but in terms of, like, Walt was like, I'm gonna turn you into the DEA if you don't help me do this.
Right.
Jesse's like, okay, like, fine. And then from that point, you've got this relationship where Walt doesn't want to see him hurt himself, but Jesse has been an addict this entire time. This isn't new. It is kind of in the sense when he gets into heroin with Jane and stuff, but at the same time, I mean, is it going to hurt him less for his girlfriend to die. Like, that's less, like, ultimately, any way you slice it, this is right. Walter having self absorbed motivations, and part of it is like he cares about Jesse, but he knows there's no chance Jesse comes back to him if Jane is still alive. So significant moment. I had some songs here. I mean,
not sold on them, or
I mean, for that whole season, "Dance Little Liar" kind of being the most apt. I had this kind of just applies to the show in general. The song "Butterfly Effect" by Travis Scott. You know that song. Well, we'll play it here. What is life I cannot change? Hit it hills, deep off in the
main. Eminem, sweet like candy cane. I love Travis Scott. He's got that song "Sicko Mode." I like that one a lot.
He did do "Sicko," same album, from "Sicko Mode."
Ooh, "Butterfly Effect." I'm assuming, based on the title, we're talking about the significance of one action following another, and even, I guess, what you were talking about with the whole plot at the end, right?
Yeah, I mean, but even the whole show, kind of, it's this giant butterfly effect, and particularly in season two, how everything builds up in that season. But it's this hip hop song, and Travis Scott is kind of this braggadocious guy. It's this like double entendre of like, you know, butterfly, like butterfly doors, you know, like in a car.
Oh.
And just being like, you know, of like, this happens as a result of
personal success. Yeah, him hustling, Travis Scott.
And Travis Scott's being like, and I don't regret kind of anything. This is my reading on the song anyway, is like, he doesn't regret kind of this whole path of his life. I think Walt has a very similar, I mean, Travis Scott's maybe being less destructive. Maybe, I don't know, given that whole trampling incident at his concert. I don't know.
That was, hey, listen here. We're not gonna tangent this too much. But I think people dying at his show is different than Walter White killing people directly.
I'm joking, but also that was real life. This is fake. This is fictional. Anyway, but yeah, this idea of like,
it is true that they both have these you know, controversial things that happen throughout their past,
yeah.
And they're successful. And, I like the parallel.
And they both pulled some bad chicks, you know, even despite, you know, that they're not the best looking.
Yo, what? I'll say this: it's Travis Scott's ass—I mean, unattractive—but Walter White, woo-wee.
No, see, this is my argument. Bryan Cranston is incredibly good-looking. Walter White is like the least handsome individual I've ever laid eyes on. I don't know if that's a personality thing, a result of like his mustache. I don't know.
See, it's funny you'd say that, but I think it's because he—it's like whenever he becomes Heisenberg, his sex appeal goes up like 1,000%.
No, it worse.
Did you see him with that raise with the school teacher? Woo-wee. Hey.
The most attractive that Walt ever is in the pilot when he's wearing his undies and when they're making that, and he's got his
pause.
Apron on.
Rewind.
Oh, let me play that back. But yeah, so butterfly effect.
Actually, a microcosm. This is the butterfly effect of one tangent turning into a completely different conversation.
Amen. So butterfly effect. Yeah, I thought that was kind of an apt sort of description of like, as you, Travis Scott's kind of opinion being like, you know, whatever happens, I'm becoming more and more successful. I don't regret anything.
Right.
From the past. Walter White's does have the same opinion, but he really should regret a lot of what he does in the past. He should never go down this road entirely because there's so much carnage as a result of his actions that
well, that's the beautiful and double-edged sword of the trickiness. It's like there's horrible things that you've experienced and that maybe you partook in that make you who you are, and like if you respect someone, then how much can you separate those horrible things with the things you also respect about them? Travis Scott, you know, he might have done some bad things, but he makes some great music. It's just that because Walter White's an artist,
Walter White makes some great meth.
Yeah, he doesn't make something that's, you know, consumable by the entirety of the country. But you look at Kanye West, and he made Graduation. That's what people say, you know.
You know, it's funny in terms of artists or like types of discographies that represent Walter White's character at different
Don't
points.
I was like
the Smiths and then Kanye. That was like my trajectory. And there are a few maybe in between there as you get to that point, but he is really this Kanye-esque figure.
Actually, though, some Yeezus era Kanye would probably be wild, I'm thinking.
I was looking at some Yeezus songs. I didn't find any that maybe directly related. I found my beautiful dark twisted fantasy music, kind of a lot of that aptly applied to Walter White. And funnily enough, I didn't actually add it to my playlist here, but I felt that whole album generally of like coming to terms with your demons and being also like this narcissistic god complex wacko is something that can embody Walter White. Power, maybe that song. That's probably apt.
That's beautiful.
but yeah, so
man, that'd be sick. Them just bumping that song while cooking up a batch, just really.
I could totally see that. A lot of this, the exercise of going through this, I was like, I can picture some of these songs actually playing during a particular scene,
right?
In the show.
And I think what we've even talked about is like he might not be prone to listening to certain genres generally, but then he's like, oh, the message. Power.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah. And as the show goes on, we gravitate, Walter White might gravitate more towards this like braggadocious rock / hip hop that is just about flaunting your skill and your power and your money, I guess. But Walter White, not that he's not concerned about money, but it's really the power that he is obsessed with. And the skill and like and flaunting his ability.
Right.
He
cannot... We'll say this, folks. Interesting. I just thought of it. Walter White wants everyone to know he's not a ghostwriter.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. What's that Kendrick lyric from King Kunta? It's like I'm like, I swore I wouldn't tell, but most of y'all be sharing bars like he got the bottom bunk in a 2-man cell. Something's in the water. And if I'd rather brown nose for some gold, then I'd rather be a bum than a mother effing baller. Amen. But Walter White would not. He would, well, I guess that is true. He'd rather not brown nose Elliot and Gretchen, his ex-colleagues, in order to go and do it his own way. So maybe that kind of aptly applies. Not that the song King Kunta really applies to him at all, but
the same complex, and it's kind of an understandable, it's not always wrong, of like, this is me, no one else. Like, I made this.
Yeah.
There's no one behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Which I think any serious artist is that's what any artist is trying to do anyway.
Right.
But it's particular in rap music. Like it is devastating to your career if it is leaked that you are not the one writing what you're writing. And I that's very much a Walter White attitude. I'd love to see Walter White cook up some bars in the studio. You know, I wonder what he'd say.
Don't bother.
I'm not. We'll move on for now. So that's kind of season two in a nutshell. I think this episode will be the halfway kind of point that we'll
hit
get
season
at
three.
Here,
you mean, and then do 4 through 6.
Yeah.
Sounds
and then
good.
We'll wrap up. We'll see how far we get. Season three. So at this point, Skylar is like, get out of my house. Like, I don't want to be married to you anymore. She says she will grant him the divorce. He tells her what's going on with the meth and everything, and she tells him if he grants her the divorce, that she won't tell anybody about what he's doing illegally. And Walter, annoyingly, wants to have his cake and eat it too, which we're getting into this very, very arrogant. I mean, he's already arrogant at this point, but like really trying to exercise power in every way that he can. And is still holding on to this idea of family, and that this is all for them. So if I lose them, then this negates the entire point of what this has been about.
Yeah.
But he's lying to himself, because we know that that's not really
well,
what's
and
driving.
Even beyond that, like the moment they're separated, in his mind, it's like, I need to keep this family together. And it's so easy to kind of villainize his wife because she's ruining the family. He's trying to help them, and then she's pushing him away. Like, it's kind of sad, really, when you think of it that way.
No! No!
Don't bother saying anything. I think we can all kind of...
Look, Skylar has been through it at this point. We're not going to get into this, but... It does bring up this kind of profound moment for Walt, and even getting a little glimpse into Gus's character, where Walt is like, I'm not going to do this like anymore. I'm not going to go into business with you, because this has already like cost me my family. And Gus says to him, a man provides, even when he's not appreciated or respected or even loved. Like, his role is to provide. And
Gus is his... How would you frame it? Like, his rich benefactor? I don't even know if that's the right word.
Gus is like, I'm assuming anybody who's listening to this already has watched the show, or else we're really spoiling things. But if you haven't seen it, Gus is...
Yeah, don't go too in-depth.
Is this widespread distributor. So yeah. Walt being... He wants to take on Walt to manufacture the methamphetamine, and then he would be the one that distributes it, and then Walt would get this like millions of dollars as a result of
incredible cut this. But yeah, I think even that specific scene, the way you're bringing it up, it's like a central scene and also theme of like justification. Oh, this is this is my duty. And once you accept that as a tenant, it's like, first and foremost, I'm a provider. Second to that, I'm a supporter of, like, you know, raising these children. It, maybe I'll lose that, but at least I'm providing for them. That's the bare minimum that I have to do.
Right. Which is crazy. At this point, his cancer is in remission at this stage in the show.
Yeah.
Which he is not happy about. Where you can maybe justify his stance from the beginning of being like, well, he needs to do this because he's going to die. And so he's got nothing to lose, and he's got to provide for his family after he's gone, and blah, 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 blah. Like, at this stage, death is not on the cards for him immediately, at least not as a result of illness. And he is only digging himself in deeper with his wife and his family, and like, it's just this big mess at the White House. I didn't even clue in. I love when shows do that, when they have a house and their last name is like, it's got this like clever name. So they're the White House. And I was like, oh wow, that's like the White House, you know?
I don't pick up on any of that stuff.
But also, like, in Ozark, it's called the Bird House because their last name is Bird. And I was like,
who calls it the Bird House?
The like creators of the show, when they're talking about it, they're like, oh, this is the birdhouse. And I mean, in Ozark,
is
there's this whole thing
represented in any way that it's a birdhouse.
Well, I mean, it's in the forest, but also the birds are the family in the show, and they're like, the idea is like this allegory that they're like an invasive species on the Ozarks.
Okay, it actually works. I didn't know if it was just some goofy little thing people
do. I love when shows do that. I love all these, and Breaking Bad does this, and Better Call Saul does this even more, of like throwing in all these little details where everything is paid attention to. But anyway, that was a bit of an aside. There's some Ozark trivia for you, for anyone listening to that. But at this stage, Jesse is getting out of rehab in season 3, and this is where he's like just tormented over Jane, and is like, this is my fault, I'm a bad guy. And he wants, when he goes to therapy, or not to therapy, to
rehab,
like whatever, yeah, like his rehab, like group, like the
right.
Narcotics Anonymous session or whatever, yeah, their support group, and he wants them to, like, condemn him. Like, he wants the guy to sit there and, like, judge him for what he's done, and the guy's like, he won't do it. And Walt, in the meantime, still, I mean, his family's falling apart, and, like, his wife wants to divorce him, and, like, all of this, and he's like, still, I'm doing this for my family, I'm a good guy. He actually says to Gus, Walt, that he's like, you know, I'm no criminal. I'm just, and this is like a direct quote from season three, around the time when the a man provides quote is said. And so just some insight into Walt.
What was the direct quote? Say it. He says, I'm a good guy. Is that?
He's talking to Gus about the context of like why he doesn't want to work for him or why he's like on the fence. And he's like, I'm no criminal.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you're very much a criminal. This point, and that juxtaposition between him and Jesse is funny.
Yeah, it's like if I'm not doing things that I deem immoral, then I might not even view them as criminal activities either. It's like technically you're not supposed to torrent movies and TV shows, but I don't really see that hurting anyone necessarily. Like, it's no skin off my back. I wouldn't call that a criminal act. I'm no criminal.
But the funny thing is that he separates himself from Gus at this stage in the show. Right. He separates himself from Gus and Jesse already. And I mean, like, Walt is, if anyone's responsible between Jesse and Walt for Jane's death, it's Walt.
Right.
And Jesse takes on all the blame for that.
Jesse takes it way harder than Walt does, I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which in itself is alarming because you see that same tendency throughout the show. It's like, he feels kind of bad for a moment, but he gets over it.
Yeah. Man, this season is crazy. This is the most action-packed season, I would say, of the entire show, season three. We won't get through all of it because there's so much, and we're at about an hour already. Now some of the stuff's going to get cut out, so... We'll go on
get us to the songs at least
5 minutes. Yes, yeah, we'll get to some of the songs. So at this stage, I've actually got a little Kanye West tune for us. not one you would probably directly expect. This is from Donda. Never Abandon Your Family is the song.
Okay, that is a great choice, and in my opinion, a great song.
She's screaming at me. Daddy, how could you leave? Daddy, how could you leave?
It is a great song. This theme of family being torn apart and
man.
Like I thought it was so apt, and I thought this is where the Kanye and Walt similarities become scarily similar. This man is, like, watching his family fall apart.
And he doesn't know why, and he feels it's not his fault.
But it is, you know? And everybody knows it is. And he's, like, the only one who can't piece that together. And he's just, like, damning everything. Like, what? Like, why
now,
is this happening?
The difference there, you know, in interest of being fair to Kanye, is it is never abandon your family. So he feels this guilt that, like, he did something, or like he's abandoning them, or do you feel like he's saying that they abandoned him?
I think this song, if I go through the lyrics, I think there's some guilt, but there's also some blame that he's putting on. And I don't disagree that it takes two to tango, but even just in the context of like, if we apply this to Walter and Skylar's situation, it's kind of like, he's talking to Kim in this song, Kim Kardashian, for those who don't know, but he's like,
Yeah. I mean, from his kid's perspective, he left them and like, he feels so horrible that they even have to think that because he misses them so much.
Yeah. It's like
I want this to work.
Yeah. He's like, I'm losing my family. Cried out to you in my sleep. You thought it was a dream. Why won't you answer me? I'm in the room. Tell mom you're sorry. She's screaming at me. Daddy, how could you leave? Daddy, how could you leave? Like, so his kids are this is very, I think it really adapts to the Walter Skyler Flynn / Walter Jr. situation is like, you kind of have this unstable father in the house. And regardless of the details and the semantics of what actually happens, it's like, the mother and the child are just there like, what else are we supposed to do? And the kids, I mean, Walter Jr. is older, but he's still relatively in the dark, so he might as well be Kanye's kid's age in the context of this song. Yeah,
he's not saying, Daddy, how could you leave? But he's saying it paraphrased, basically. It's like,
yeah, why like aren't you here? He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
At all. And, yeah, it's this thing that Walter is like, this is my... I think part of him can, like, intellectually recognize why she's so upset, hopefully, but he is so adamant that she comes back to him because he thinks, like, truly that she's better off, like, everyone's better off if they stick together as a family, which I don't think is true at this stage. I mean, like, I think Skylar's right. Like, she doesn't know what the hell this guy's up to, and he's just lying and... this and that and the third. Anyway, we won't go on a tangent about that, but that was one song choice I thought particularly for this season kind of comes into play. Because this is like that weird limbo area too of where Skylar's like trying to leave and then she sleeps with Ted. And then because of Hank becoming paralyzed, like this all happens in one season, because Hank becomes paralyzed as a result of like getting shot by the cousins, like Tuco's cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar is like, we need to pay for Hank's, we have the money to pay for Hank's like therapies or whatever, his healthcare.
Right.
And then that's where she comes into the lies and is like, oh, he wanted illegally gambling. And like,
yeah.
This is a very action packed season. Like so much happens in these like 12 episodes. It's crazy. I was going through it and I was like, oh my God, this is all season 3.
Right.
What else did I have for this one? That'd be probably...
Well, I was for a second, I feel like Walt probably still has that guilt, like you were saying, like in the song it's definitely this confliction of like, I want to be there and I'm not. How much of that's my fault, how much of that's the fault of my partner? And it's like, right. Any way you slice it, you have to have some self-reflection. It's like, is it my fault that I can't see my kids right now? And
right, and to him and to Walter, he blames Skylar because she's the one that technically leaves, but
right.
Like the blame, and this is just his self-absorption, and he's not at all thinking at any stage, at any point, how any of this is going to reflect, is going to hurt his family. He's only thinking about how it potentially can help them because he's blinded by his own motivations, which before we wrap up this particular episode brings me to 2 points. One, another significant song that plays in the show. This is actually at the end of season 2, or near the end of season 2, but this ties into kind of this trajectory that we're getting into at this point. The song is called DLZ by TV on the Radio. And this song is playing the first time we see Walt really puff out his chest. And he's like in the parking lot and he sees these guys buying like some materials he knows they're gonna make, try and make competitive meth.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to them, like, stay out of my territory. And this is the song that's playing in the background of that.
Yeah. This is beginning to feel like the dog wants a bone.
Say, which is a very significant moment. And a great tune to boot. It's like this really edgy kind of unsettling song. So that being a significant moment, and just when you watch this episode and this it ends the episode off, season 2 episode 10, it just, you're like, oh, like like, so this is not the Walter White we were dealing with in the pilot anymore. That all kind of leads into this attitude of his all the internal things of his family getting split apart, and at this point this idea of ego is really taking over in power, and he's not going to be pushed around at all. Do you have anything to say in that regard? Just because I have another point. Now this I was only going to bring this one up. This won't take very long. I was only going to bring this up in context of, like, the contrast to Walter as a character and his approach to everything. This song called A Little More by the Arkells. It's this great little, cute little tune. Mine is yours now. Your dreams are my dreams. I want to open doors now. About the band's piano player, his father, when he was a kid, like, Tony is a piano player. When Tony was a kid, his father, like, sold off his, he was in a band himself, but, like, had to, like, sell his drum set and everything so he could afford a little piano for his kid. And this idea of sacrifice for the sake of your family,
mm-hmm.
And it's in total juxtaposition to Walt's justifications, like, in his mind.
That's him. He's listening to that tune and he's singing right along.
Yeah, and he thinks that that's him. But really, the real sacrifice for Walt would be, because the point of that song is like his father plays the drums and he loves the drums, but he loves his kid more. And no matter, and, you know, ego of wanting to play them well, like, he is willing to give it up so his little boy can play the piano. And Walt, his ego is more important to him than his family. And he's not willing to give it up, even now that it's all crumbling.
Arguably, the Arkells just got it wrong, because he should have just been supporting his family. You know, he should have been making more money so that his family is well provided for.
I mean, yeah, there's a whole different, like, alpha male reading to take of the song, and that's, like, you know how, like, there are some classes that are, like, feminine theory and stuff about reading certain texts with that.
Oh, that's
through that
beautiful.
But you do the alpha male theory of
masculine theory. It's an entire class. It's like, we're gonna bring up this Arkell song where you can clearly tell he's not really depicting masculine attributes. He sells his possessions for his child when he really should just be hustling harder.
Yeah, and it's like, the real question is, it is a moral failure for you as a person, but even more so as a man, to not be able to afford a piano without having to sell your kid.
It's wild, the representation of, like, your success and your masculinity in the physical possessions of you and your family. That's a terrifying thing.
Terrifying. But yeah, I thought I was going through my kind of library and I came across that song and I was like, wow, I can't think of, like, a song that Walter White would think he identifies so much with, but anybody externally would be like, this is the total opposite of what you're doing. And just that level of disconnection and complete self-absorption is what really marks this character, especially from end of season two onward. So
a lot more of that coming up.
Absolutely. So yeah, we'll continue on with the remainder of Breaking Bad and our Walter White analysis. We'll stop off about the middle to end of season three, and we will see you next week.
Woo!
A little outro. Walter White.
Why? He's gonna get caught because he's so right.
That's terrible.
Well, it's me again making a subtle commentary on the fact that his actions are actually justified.
Walter White. If he says go left, then go right.
Politically.
No!
And cut.